you guys heard me at the end of my last podcast that I have launched my executive and leadership coaching service. And so I would like to, you know, let people know that I've started doing coaching for executives and leaders, and I'm focusing towards the healthcare industry for our community. And I do this for physicians, I do this for pharmacists, for nurse practitioners, for social workers, for anybody who is in the healthcare industry. And what is in fact coaching? So coaching is a collaborative, solution-focused, results-oriented, and systematic process in which the coach facilitates the enhancement of work performance, life experience, and self-directed learning and personal growth by partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. So really, coaching is to help individuals become better, become the next version of themselves, become the next better version of themselves. Typically, people who would want to have coaching is they are thinking about either advancement or they're thinking of transitioning their career into something bigger, better. Or sometimes it is to develop leadership skills, perfecting it. But as we learn in leadership, that it starts with the self. So building self-awareness, leading self, and that's where coaching comes in. Another area where coaching can come in is really in helping with communication and collaboration. Finally, it could help with career design. And at the last, well, some people take coaching for well-being to prevent or fight burnout. And people ask me, you know, what are the benefits of coaching? Well, first of all, coaching is secure and confidential. And what the coach tries to do is evaluate and pinpoint strengths and weaknesses for improvement and really help the individual develop self-awareness, self-agency, to build capacity and build capabilities, and to help the client develop a framework of accountability with actionable steps, and really help the client to extend beyond their comfort zone and try to drive towards substantial positive transformation. People often ask me, what does executive leadership coaching look like? Well, first of all, it's absolutely confidential. The process is tailored to the client's goals and reality and empowering the client to drive towards the change that they desire. And it's a one-on-one coaching session, typically bi-weekly. And the length of each session is divided by the coachee. Typically, the program will last somewhere between 7 to 10 sessions. And that's probably what it's needed for a meaningful change. And it's really a partnership between the coach and the coachee to have conversation in thought-provoking approach that emphasizes the dynamic between the coach and the coachee to really drive at tangible outcomes and objectives. So if you are thinking of coaching, if you are thinking of transitioning your career or move up in your career, or you're thinking, I may need something to help me become the better version of myself to better my own profession or my own career, then coaching may be what is needed for you. And if that is so, I do recommend that you look into executive and leadership coaching. And if you think that I could be the one who can help you, then please email me, hmfhd2020@gmail.com. Today we're going to dive into another topic of investment. Most of us have heard of investing in the market, and we've heard about traditional type of investing. So a lot of the times we will invest in index funds, ETFs. That's the craze right now, especially all of us who are doing DIY. Then There are also stocks, bonds, ETF, mutual funds, REITs. And that's the typical type of investing, right? We invest long, meaning we buy low and eventually sell high. Some of us short, which is you buy it and expect it for the stock to come down and make money as the stock is coming down. But there's another type of investing in the market called options. A lot of you may hear that options is bad, options is difficult, options is risky. And here in this particular episode, we're going to talk about options, but we're going to talk about one strategic way of investing in options, which after you hear of this, you may say, this is a no-brainer. How come nobody knows about this? And how come nobody spoke to me about this? Well, this is what this episode is about. This episode is trying to open up your mind to a different type of investing into the market, a type of investing that is probably more secure than what you are currently doing and what most people are currently doing. And you will find that this may be a solution for you. And luckily, there are courses out there. It may not be the one that I'm currently discussing with this individual, but there are courses out there that teaches people how to trade in options. And you should look into that and see whether this may be suitable for you or not. And so it just gives you another way of investing into the market. So I hope you enjoy this podcast and that you've learned something new. At least now you know about it and you can at least look into it, study it, research it, and decide later whether this is right for you or not.
How's my financial health, Doc? Welcome to the Financial Literacy Podcast for healthcare professionals, where financial security and wealth topics are not a taboo.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and I am back. I promise you, I am not dead. I have been off the airwaves for quite some time, but that's because I've been busy, and I've been busy meeting new people and talking about new stuff. And so it is with great pleasure today that I want to introduce to you our special guest, and his name is Omar Khan. And Omar is the co-founder and also... I'll just say co-founder for now of Theta Trading and Theta IQ. So you guys are wondering, what is this, Vu? What are you going to be talking about today? Well, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Omar. Omar, I did not do a very good job at introducing you. So please introduce yourself respectfully, not like what I just did, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Dr. Tran. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to come on the show and talk about what we do, my background. So I am the co-founder of Theta Trading Co. And also the co-founder of Theta IQ. Now, one, Theta Trading is an education company and Theta IQ is an asset management company. So I spent tons of years, 15 years on Bay Street, and I learned what not to do as a result of that and why... And, you know, we'll get more into the details, but why most funds in Canada can't beat the index and how it's costing people tons of money. So that's why we created this company, to solve the issue of financial illiteracy and to manage people's money in a manner which they are more inclined to. So that's it. That's kind of my introduction, Dr. Tran.
Okay. So first of all, please stop calling me Dr. Tran. Call me Vu.
All right. Got it.
Second. So you talked a little bit about, you know, what you're currently doing, but we met at a Tim Hortons, we chatted for a long, long time, we laughed, we cried. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey into this industry and your own learnings.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd be happy to go back. So I started trading in the late 90s when I was finishing off my university education at the University of Toronto. I completed an economics and finance degree. But I knew that I was graduating with a bunch of student loans. I knew this was going to be a ticking time bomb. So either I had to figure out a way to pay this thing off, or it's going to be a lot of suffering. And I didn't come from a wealthy household. All my parents were not wealthy at all. I had to pay for everything myself. So, you know, I knew there was nothing to fall back on. It was either figured out, you know, one of those issues of sink or swim. So I started experimenting and trading in the late 90s and making tons of mistakes, learning, experimenting. Because back then, Vu, you couldn't just go and YouTube something or Google something. You had to do things through trial and error. And then what I would do is I would trade, and then I would go to the library and read books and understand what I did right, what I did wrong. And then I would talk to people in the industry, and, you know, and that's kind of how I had to figure things out. And then flash forward, I started working on Bay Street, and I realized that Bay Street is a disaster in terms of, I'm like, why are people putting so much money into these funds when the funds stink? They're just terrible. And you start to quickly realize that things are not what you thought they were. So I graduated an economics and finance degree. I knew a lot about economics and finance, but I didn't know how to make any money. No one in school taught me how to make money and get my family and myself to a better life. That's all I really cared about. And I think that's the biggest problem that that the education system had. So we started trading on our own. I started trading my own. And I quickly realized I don't have a whole lot of time to trade. So I have to find a method that I can trade in 30 minutes a day or less, probably a little bit less, 20 minutes a day. Because again, you can't be trading all day long if you're working, but you can squeeze in at lunchtime or little breaks here and there. And I was working on Bay Street, so I had a lot of obviously knowledge of what I was into. I started trading first, and I made a ton of mistakes. Like I said, tons of mistakes, every mistake you can think of, but gradually it evolved over time. By 2008, 2009, we had just stuck to one strategy, which is today is the Theta strategy. And I used all the money that I was making from my trading, and I used it to buy about 30 properties in Hamilton, Ontario, starting in 2008, 2009. By 2014, properties had done really well. I had a decent sized trading account, so I didn't have to work anymore. So I quit my Bay Street job. I was like, I'm never working again. And for a few years, it just took a few years off. And then 2019, we decided to open Theta Trading, the education company. Why? Because this whole financial illiteracy thing was a big problem for me personally. And same with my business partner. He's a CFA. He worked on, he's a co-founder of the company as well. And imagine both of us going to U of T. He got a CFA, which is like the penultimate designation when it comes to finance. And we were still both financially literate. We didn't know how to make money for ourselves. School doesn't teach this. So we said, well, why don't we open up a company that teaches people how to make money trading their own accounts? So we opened up Theta Trading in 2019. It did extremely well. It is doing extremely well even now. We have taught about 2,000 people, and we offer four courses. And then what happened from there, Vu, is ultimately those people came to us and said, I love your strategy. It makes complete sense to me. I don't have time to do it on my own. Why don't you open up an asset management company so you can manage my assets according to what I learned, according to what now I believe in? And that's kind of my story. That's how Theta Trading and Theta IQ came about.
Wonderful. That is a great story, and a very entrepreneurial story. You and I talked about financial illiteracy among healthcare professionals, but you also revealed to me at that Tim Hortons, and even now, is that even though you were in economics and you were in finance and your business partner is in CFA, that it was still a struggle to learn how to invest. But, you know, even before investing is, you know, how to even manage money, how to save and all that, you know, personal financial literacy part. Talk to us a little bit about that. What was your own journey, and what are your current thoughts about financial literacy in general? And, you know, maybe to make it relevant to us, how does it translate to healthcare professionals and physicians?
Yeah, so good question. Most people who graduate in, you know, college, high school, university, whatever level of education you come out, financial illiteracy is pervasive throughout industries, right? So, and physicians are no different. I've been investing for a long time. I've been, trading for a long time. And unfortunately, I found that physicians, they tend to be some of the worst investors possible. This is no slight on any physician. You guys are brilliant in one field, but not so brilliant in another field. And it's very rationally explained. And the reason is simple as this. This is what my take is from the physician viewpoint. Physicians, because they are so good at what they're doing in their field and the high level of education it requires to complete a degree in medicine and to become a doctor, it's intensive. It's a lot of work and it requires a lot of effort. They think that because they're smart in that field, that they're smart in every other field. And unfortunately, it simply doesn't translate. They wind up being some of the worst investors possible because they think they know more than everyone else. And that's the biggest issue I have found generally with my friends, family, who are in the medical field. They think they're great investors, but unfortunately, they are terrible investors. And so, and it's not just medicine, it's also other industries as well. Like engineers are terrible, teachers are not very good. And again, the same sort of thing holds true where they think, well, I'm really good at one field, and therefore I must be good at this field as well. Investing doesn't work like that. So financial illiteracy is something that's pervasive throughout. Even if you look at kids, kids graduating from high school today, you would think that instead of teaching them things like calculus, which I suppose is important, I took calculus, I didn't get any value from it. Wouldn't it be a good idea to teach kids, what is a mortgage? How does my credit score work? What happens if I start investing early versus late? What happens if I own a home versus don't own a home? These sort of things are not really taught at the university, college, or high school level. So that's the gap that we really wanted to fill. So we have theta trading, which shows people how to invest their own money. And our strategy is pretty simple. I'll get into our strategy. It's simple selling options. But more importantly, it's about being financially literate. Once you understand how money works, it's a lot easier to make it. But most people will never understand. And oftentimes, hubris is the main culprit in not uncovering that knowledge. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Like I've been podcasting for 2 years now, and I am telling people that you need to learn the basics of personal finance. You need to have some basic understanding of how money works. You need to understand what it can and cannot do for you. But more importantly, it's not just about investing, but also, as you mentioned earlier, what does it mean to have a mortgage? What is a credit score? Should I even buy a house or should I rent? In what scenario should I buy a house? In what scenario should I rent? And this is basic personal finance. And the hubrisness that you mentioned is pervasive as well, right? We listen to commercials such as, Questrade, Wealthsimple. We listen to some Facebook group. We follow some gurus that say all you have to do is put your money in ETF and let it ride. And then you'll be fine. And obviously you're not going to be fine because it really depends on what the market does and you can't really control the market. And we think that just because we know a little bit that we know it all. And unfortunately, knowing just enough is actually quite dangerous.
Yeah, sometimes knowing just enough, it can be quite dangerous. But yeah, that's generally what it is. People think they know everything and they don't, oh, I have nothing to learn here. And then you start going on, YouTube channels and you start getting these stock tips and your buddies are doing this. And that whole thing just leads to financial literacy. When you look at investing, you have to look at it the way a Warren Buffett does. Understand the value of an asset and then hold that asset till it achieves that value. But most people, again, they will never take the time and effort to learn that. So that's where the big disconnect is.
Right, but the other part of the disconnect is that we're being sold a bunch of not really good information. If you look at the current trend is do it yourself, DIY, buy a stock, couch potato, and you'll be good 10, 15, 30 years from now. It may work, it may not work, but it's not a real way of building security or even retirement. There has to be something logical, something structured, and with a lot of education.
Yeah, and also there's also something that you're 100% right. You have to have structure and education, understand how the markets work, understand the long-term perspective, that the markets go up over time. The bigger problem with not understanding the markets is psychology. So I'll give you 2022 as an example. 2022 was the worst year in the stock market since 2008. It was down, the NASDAQ was down 33%. The S&P was down 20. Bonds were down a huge amount. So what happens to most people during those time frames is they wind up panicking and freaking out and selling their assets at a loss, whereas they should be doing the exact opposite because they don't understand the value of that asset. So for example, if a company like Microsoft goes from, $350 all the way down to $225, people start saying, "Oh my God, Microsoft is going down, the economy is bad, I should sell." Well, the exact opposite is the way you should be looking at it. When others are fearful, be greedy. And when others are greedy, be fearful. That's a Warren Buffett quote. And that's the kind of mentality that you want to take. So oftentimes it's just psychology. If you don't understand that the markets have always gone to an all-time high, that you don't need to freak out and panic because you hold high-quality companies, then ideally what you want to be able to do is put more money in when the markets go down because you know that they've rebounded historically. And that's a problem that, again, is persistent throughout many different types of investors. People simply freak out during market downturns because they don't understand the long-term value of where stocks go and what they're actually worth.
So tell us a little bit about the education that you're providing and your company's providing. What is it? How did it start? And why is it so powerful?
Yeah, so basically what we do is pretty simple. We agree to buy stocks that we want to buy anyways, but we use the options market to do so. And why it's so powerful is because you can make a lot of money simply for agreeing to buy stocks you want to buy. And that it changes your whole life. And I'll give you an example, okay? So I'll give you an example. Let's take, for example, a company. Tell me one of your actually, I'll give you a company of ours. Let's take for example Google. Okay, Google is a good. Everyone's heard of Google. Everyone knows what Google is. Google's currently trading at $150. Okay. Now, the first thing you do when you want to invest in a company is you have to do something called a discounted cash flow model, and you have to understand the company thoroughly. And you kind of got to figure out what is it going to be worth in the future. Now, obviously, most people don't have time to do that. They don't have time to go through the financial statements, understand them, and then extrapolate future values out. So they don't bother. But what you have to look at is, do I think a company like Google will be worth more in the future? We analyze these companies thoroughly, so we do. We'll say, okay, yeah, we think it'll be worth more in the future. Now, there's two different ways to be able to buy Google. One, you can simply just buy Google for 150 and then wait for it to go up in value. That's a fair thing to do, right? So yeah, I think it'll be worth 180 for a year from now, and I'm happy to buy it for 150. That's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But what we do is we use the options market, specifically something called selling cash secured puts. Now, what does that mean exactly? That means instead of buying Google for 150, what we'll do is we'll go in there and we'll agree to buy Google for a certain price. So let's say I go in there and I say, you know what? I wouldn't mind buying Google for $145 a month from today. And I'm looking at the number live as we speak. If I agree to buy Google for $145 in the next 30 days, I'm being paid $3 a share. That's over 2% return for the month. So I want to describe to everyone what this scenario means. So option A is I can buy Google for 150 today. Option B is I go to the market and I use the options market. I sell a cash secured put and I say, you know what? Even if Google goes below 145, I'm happy to take it off your plate. So I'm going to guarantee a buy price on Google of $145 a share. Even if it goes to 140 or 142 or whatever it may be, in the next 30 days, I'm still going to pay you 145 a share. Now, ex in exchange for me guaranteeing a buy price for that stock, I'm being compensated 2%, over 2%, in fact, for 1 month. Now, that is over a 30% return when I compound that annually. What is the worst thing that'll happen to me? The worst thing that'll happen to me is Google goes down below 145, I have to buy it. But I still keep that $3 a share because for me agreeing to buy it. And now if Google doesn't go below 145 a share, I keep the $3 a share regardless of what happens. So for me, this is free money. I get to buy my favorite companies for cheaper than they're currently trading at, and I get paid for it. And the worst thing that will happen to me is I'll own them. Great. If I own them at a discount, I'm even happier. And that is the basis of our strategy. And that's when people find this out, that they can agree to buy their favorite companies cheap, their mind is blown. It's like a light bulb moment. You're like, wait a second, I can agree to buy Apple for $5 less and get paid 2% for the month? You're like, yes. And that changes everything. So that's the basis behind what we do.
That is a really simple way of explaining it. And I think a lot of people have been told, well, there's a few things. A lot of people have been told that if you're going to invest in a market, don't touch everything else. Don't touch anything other than stocks, bonds, and ETF, because everything else is dangerous. It's risky. It's dangerous. And so the word options, the word Forex, the word derivatives, they all lump into together, right? So people say, right, yeah. They look at that and say, oh, I shouldn't be doing anything other than ETFs because everything else is risky. So what you've just explained to us is actually the more safe thing to do. So here's a question for you. Why is it called an option? Let's just try to define that.
Sure.
And help people understand, why does this little side market that you just described of me being paid to be just ready, right? That's essentially it is. I'm being paid to be ready. So how come this market exists?
Yeah, it was originally meant for hedging purposes. So for example, let's say I own a lot of shares of Google at 150 and I need to be able to put a down payment. I need that money for a down payment on my house in 60 days or 30 days. I can't afford to get less than $145 a share. I can't afford for there to be a market downturn and all of a sudden it's trading at $135 a share. So what I do, if I'm the person who's buying this option, is I'll go ahead and purchase insurance. I'm going to buy insurance that even if the stock goes below 145, I get to sell for 145, but it costs me 2% for that month. So options were originally designed to be a hedging product to limit downside risk. So when you talk about the world of options, oftentimes it has a very negative connotation to it. And the reason is because the person who is buying the option, in this case, if I'm buying that option at $3 a share and I'm, you know, if the stock doesn't happen to go below 145, I lose all $3 a share. All right, that's not a great investment, right? But the person who's selling that option wins 95% of the time. So that's all we do is we sell options. We don't buy options. We are more than happy to provide insurance on stocks we would have bought anyways, because we would have bought Google for 150 anyways. Because why? Because we think it'll be worth more in the future. So if you're going to give us the opportunity to buy Google for cheaper and get paid 2% for the month for agreeing to buy it for a $5 discount, to me, again, that's I'm all in. Now, why is the word option used? Well, you have put options and you have call options. Put options is you have the option, the purchaser, the one who's purchasing the option, they have the option to buy the stock lower if it happens to go that way. And a call option is you have the option to buy a stock if it goes higher. And that's why those two options exist. But the way that we use options is a very simple way. We simply sell hash secured puts on companies that we want to own that we think will be worth more in the future. The worst thing that will happen to us is that we own them for a discounted price and we got paid for it. Now, if you look at exotic option strategies, exotic derivative strategies, and there are plenty of them. In this particular example, I showed you how we could make 2% a month for agreeing to buy Google for a $5 discount. Well, if we did something like an iron condor, or I don't want to get into what it is. It's a more complex derivative strategy using calls and puts. instead of making 2% for the month, we can make 10, 15, 20% for the month. But it comes with a much, much higher degree of risk. So we don't do that. Now, yes, you can make 10, 15, or 20% a month using an iron condor, but that it comes with the risk that you could potentially lose a lot of money as well. That is not how we use options. We use options in a very systematic, measured way to limit our downside. And we get paid a lot of money for that. That is the difference. And that's why most people have no idea how options work, how to use them, how to make money from them. And that's why we started this company.
Wonderful. Now, you—it's true what you just said there, and I echo that. Is that most people are told that options is a risky thing to do, but there are ways, like you say, to actually make it work so that it's not risky or not as risky. There's no guarantees in the market, you know that, and I know that. But the way that you just mentioned it is you use the word, would you buy insurance for 2%? And that's essentially what that is, right? That's the insurance for 2%, and you got paid for that. So, as you say, annualized.
We won't be the ones buying the insurance. We'll be the ones providing that insurance because we're okay if we have to fulfill that insurance contract. So, for
Exactly.
example, yeah, exactly. So, for us, we don't mind.
Right. So essentially, if you're doing a put option, then you are playing the role of the insurer here.
Correct.
And if anything goes wrong, then you just purchase the stock that you would want to buy anyways at a discount.
That's correct. That's the worst that'll happen to you. That's correct.
Right. Now, the other reason why people would be afraid of this is because a lot of these are done on margins and on margin accounts. And we've seen people losing their shirts on margins account.
Absolutely.
And so this is why the two are mixed together in a very bad reputation. But understand how you should do it and how to do it safely.
Right, that's exactly it. You want to understand how to do it and how to do it safely. So you're 100% correct. Every options account is a margin account, okay? Not every one of them. So if you have an open account, it's a margin account. Margin account means that if you deposit $1 into your account, the system will allow you to trade with $3 in your account, okay? So basically, you're using a lot more money than you have. And this could get you in a lot of trouble. And this happens with any part of life. If you buy a home and you don't put enough down payment and nothing happens to go down, you're gonna have negative equity. Same thing on the option side, on the stock side. If you have $100,000 in your account, but you've agreed to buy $300,000 of stock, and all of a sudden that stock market goes down by 20%, well, you have just lost 20% of 300,000, which is 60 grand. That 60,000 comes off your 100,000. So now your account went from 100,000 all the way down to 40 grand, and you're in a lot of trouble. When you use margin accounts, if you do not agree to buy more stock than you have money in your account for, then the margin situation doesn't exist. Margin only exists if you will use more money than you actually have. And again, it can be very dangerous. That is not what we do.
And so that brings up a point is that you need to know enough. You need to be properly educated. And one should not just look at a YouTube video or listen to some people or listen to some guru on a podcast. And in fact, you shouldn't even listen to me on a podcast. You should actually get properly trained. Correct, Omar? And
Correct, 100%.
so it's really proper education. What we're doing here today is just letting people know there's another. I won't say the word option because it confuses people. Option on option. No, there's another alternative of investing out there. And this is just another way of doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly why we started this company, the education component. The education, we designed the education to be the exact education we would have wanted when we first started investing. Like when I first started investing, I didn't know this stuff. I remember, I did an economics and finance degree. No professor never pulled me aside and said, "Hey, kid, this is how you make money." That never happened. So we wanted to design a course to take the average person and show them, "Hey, look, with this knowledge, you can now make money. It's the ultimate side hustle. Just agree to buy some of your favorite companies, whatever those companies happen to be, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, Google, Amazon, whatever it may be, Royal Bank, whatever you like. just agree to buy them at a discount, get paid a lot of money for it. Worst case scenario, you own them. And then there's another part of the equation, Vu, where you can agree to sell your stock for a profit and get paid for that as well. That's called a covered call. So that's the basis of our strategy. So for example, if I had agreed to buy Google last month at 150 and now it's at 150, and I turn around and say, you know what? I wouldn't mind getting rid of my Google stock in the next 30 days for $160 a share. Well, if I do that, I'm getting paid another 1.5%. I'm getting paid $2 and about 40 cents a share. So what that means is if Google happens to go above 160 in the next 30 days, I'll have to sell it for 160. Even if it goes to 165 or 170, I'll have to sell it for 160. But I'm being paid $2.40 a share. And throughout the whole situation, the worst thing that happened to me is I own Google shares. I think most people can live with the worst case being that they own companies that they like. That's not a bad spot to be in. So this knowledge of learning how to sell options on your favorite companies or ETFs is absolutely game-changing financially. It'll literally change your financial life if you use it the right way, which is what it did to me. And that's why we designed this company. We designed the education to be the exact education we would have wanted when we didn't know what was going on and we had to learn everything on our own. And yeah, we've had about 2,000 people take the education, and they're the ones who asked us to open up the asset management company. Fair enough?
Fair enough. So now here's the question. I'm a busy physician. I'm a busy nurse. I work a lot and I don't have time to, you know, look at all these things and look at Google and the underlying value. So if I take your course and I do this, one, can I learn this? Am I smart enough to learn this? And two, after I've learned this, how feasible is this? Is this going to take my entire life and I have to sell my kid just so I can pay token and have time to do this? How complicated is this?
Yeah, it's. I can assure you guys, if you've got a medical degree, this won't be anywhere near as complicated, but it is different. So not everybody gravitates towards it. It is not a difficult concept to understand. The main thing is that people are mostly unaware that it even exists. If I were to ask 100 people on the street, and you know, Vu, yourself included, did you know this was even available, that you could agree to buy your favorite stocks for cheaper and get paid for it? I think the answer for most people would be no. I had no clue this world even existed. So how much time does it take? Well, if you're a busy doctor or busy nurse, do you have time to research individual companies like Apple and Google and Mike? Like, you got to do a lot of work. Well, if you don't want to do that work, you can simply do this on an ETF. So I'll give you an example. The QQQ is the NASDAQ ETF. As just an example, okay? Now, it has the top 100 NASDAQ companies, which is mainly technology focused. So it'll have your Apple, your Microsoft, your Google, your Tesla, all that stuff's in there. So you don't have to worry about researching individual companies. You can simply use a strategy on an ETF. So that way it cuts out a lot of time. So let's say, for example, QQQ is currently trading for $445 a share, okay? And I do the same thing. I go 30 days out and I agree to buy this thing for $440 a share, okay? Well, if I do that, I'm getting paid almost $6 a share. So it's almost like 1.5% for the month for agreeing to buy it for a $5 discount. I don't have to worry about the company. I just have to look at, do I think technology will do better in the next month? Well, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Either way, I got paid 1.5%. So once you've done that trade, let's say you do that trade today, Vu, you don't have much to do until April 26th, which is 32 days away from today. Either it's going to go down $5 or it's not. So once you learn it, it takes very little time, especially if you're using ETFs. If you're using ETFs, you could do your trading in less than 5 minutes a day. And some days you won't even need to trade, depending on how big your account is. If you're using individual companies, it takes much more time because of the research involved in those companies, not the actual trading itself. The actual trading itself takes a few minutes a day. You log into your account on your app, you put your two trades in wherever you want to buy your stock or your ETF, and then you don't have to worry about it for the next 30 days. Either you'll have to or you won't have to. Simple as that. So the time commitment is not very large.
Okay, that's good. So the time commitment to do the trade is not long. There's a time commitment to learn. And obviously, if you want to learn something new, you have to dedicate the time. There's no two ways around it, right?
No, to learn our strategy, I think it probably will take about 50 hours between, the academics and the practical application. So that would take you about 50 hours. But then you have a skill set for the rest of your life where you can log on to your phone, agree to buy your favorite stocks or ETFs, and get paid every single time. Worst case scenario, you own them. Well, that's not a bad spot to be in.
No.
Now, that's a great spot to be in. But you have to know how to do it in the first place. And that does take about 50 hours, but that might be the best. I've had people tell us that this is the best education they have ever received, ever. And these are people who have high advanced degrees. We had one guy who's a PhD from and worked at the World Bank in Indonesia, Jakarta. And he took our course. He's like, he has a PhD in economics. And he goes, I didn't learn this stuff in school. And again, because school's not designed to teach you how to make money. Schools are designed for academia. And that's where the big disconnect is. So yeah, like I said, once you spend about that 50 hours between theoretical and practical application, you've got a skill set for the rest of your life. You log onto your phone, make a few hundred bucks, make a few thousand bucks, and it really starts to add up. And that's so that example that I described to you with Google, if I agreed to buy Google for $5 less, and I got paid, 2%, which is, if I agree to buy, let's say, 300 shares of Google, well, that's $900 that I'm getting for doing nothing. Just simply agreeing to buy Google for the next 30 days for a $5 discount. That money starts adding up. So what I did with that money is I took that money and I bought cash flow positive property in Hamilton in 2008, 2009. I wouldn't buy a property at these prices, but back then the numbers were overwhelming in terms of their favorability. I was buying houses for 150 grand that we're renting out for 1500 bucks. You can't do that anymore. So, but the application of generating money on your phone, working 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, that is a great thing to be, great place to be in. So I would highly encourage everyone to learn it. It'll literally change your life financially once you understand this concept.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely worth learning. I have to admit, I have to tell the audience, to this day, I still don't know how to swim. And I'm trying to learn how to swim. And trust me, it takes more than a few hours. And so anything that's worth doing, it's worth putting the time into it. But once you know how to do it, and once you learn how to do it, you know how to swim or you know how to trade this way, then it's life-changing, right? For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's life changing. Just imagine, think about it. Imagine you're a busy guy, busy doctor, and you're like, okay, I got 30 minutes. I'm gonna go on my phone. I'm gonna agree to buy Apple, buy some Google, buy some Tesla. All of a sudden, you made 1500 bucks, and then you're back to work in 5 minutes. That's not a bad spot to be in.
No, not a bad spot. But learn properly.
Learn properly. The biggest mistake that people make is they wind up buying garbage stocks. Right? Because they get some tip from their buddy about some new weed company that came out that's going to go through the roof, and it doesn't. Then that's where the challenge is. You really have to understand the companies that you're investing in. Or if you don't want to do that, just go for the ETF. That way you don't have to do any research. You're just betting on the broader economy. And the great thing with the broader markets and the broader economy is every single downturn that the markets have had, they've always gone to all-time highs. Always. So what you're trying to prevent at the end of the day is any permanent impairment of your capital. Basically, you don't want to lose your money. It can go down temporarily, right? But you don't want to lose your money. And that's our first and foremost goal here at Theta.
Very good. So you're following Warren Buffett's rule number one.
That's correct.
So great. Thank you very much, Omar. I think what this does is we've just had a discussion on different ways to invest in the market. Stocks, bonds, ETF is one of them. And now you've just exposed us to, the market of options. Now, guys, girls out there, this is not a course on options. This is just making you aware that something out there exists. So please, whatever you do, do not take this as Vuket Tran told me to go invest in options and trade options. No, what Vuket Tran is saying is, hey, there are other things out there. Have a look at it, learn it properly, and learn it from the pros and then decide what you want to do with it. And it could be another skill for your life. It's like operating on a brain. Now you know how to trade options. So, Omar, thank you very much for building that awareness with us today.
Well, no, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, you can do so. Just send me an email at omar@thetatradingco.com. And the Theta as Theta, thetatradingco.com. If you have any questions at all, I'd be happy to answer. Omar@thetatradingco.com.
Thank you very much, Omar. So I always ask my guests this question. Before we leave each other, what is a burning message you have on your chest that you want to tell my broader audience, my healthcare provider colleagues? One burning thing you want to say to them before we say goodbye?
I guess how would I put this best without I don't want to offend anyone. Some of the biggest problems that people have is they think they know everything. Don't assume that you know everything and that everything is there are certain things that other people know that you don't know. That's and this is what we lean on people in their field of expertise. Take the time to learn about cash secured puts and covered calls. It will make a world of difference in your financial future. You know, you might be able to open more medical clinics. You might be able to retire earlier. You can send that, pass that knowledge on to your children. I would highly encourage people gain financial literacy so that you and your families are able to have a better life in the future. That's the message for me.
Thank you very much, Omar. You have no idea what that message meant to me, because I've been using this podcast to push my message, and one message only. I'm trying to brainwash the audience, and that message is financial wellness is definitely part of your overall wellness. So make sure that you pay attention to your financial wellness as well as all the other domains of wellness. So thank you very much for sharing that message with me, Omar.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it, Lou.
Okay. Cheers, man. Have a good one. Okay. Well, there you have it. I hope that you guys enjoyed this podcast and learned a little bit more about the options market. So the market, when we say the market, it's actually broader than just stocks, bonds, ETF, and index. And so learning and being aware of the options market just expands your understanding of what investment mean. And again, I just want to remind the audience that this is just about investment. Financial literacy and financial security is broader than just investment. And so make sure that you understand this particular part, but also learn about the other domains of financial security, such as risk mitigation, tax planning, estate planning, etc., and all those things. So thank you very much for listening to the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any comments or feedback, please leave me some comments at hmfhd2020@gmail.com. I also want to remind the audience that if you are interested in executive or leadership coaching services, or just want to understand more about it, please, you can also email me at the same place, hmfhd2020@gmail.com, and we'll speak to you later. Bye-bye.
How is My Financial Health, Doc? Podcast is hosted by Dr. Vukit Tran. Dr. Tran is a physician with a special interest in personal financial security and wealth education. Dr. Tran does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through this financial podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.
Please confer with your advisor, lawyer, or accountant for specific advice.